Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. My guest today is Peter Bailey in Israel, and we can see each other, we're looking at each other, and our topic today is Mamad to Miklat, bomb shelter to bomb shelter. Peter and I met with my daughter Shira in 2017 when Peter was putting on an outing. And we've been friends, he and his wife and I and Shira have been friends ever since. Peter made Aliyah in 2013 to join their sons in Israel. He was a very successful South African businessman. He's a historian and a military man. And he is my go-to man for whenever I need answers to questions either in history or military. He is also an author of two books, Men of Valor, which is a very fascinating stories of the 40 men in the IDF who were awarded for bravery, and then also Street Names in Israel. And I'm sure many of you have walked through the streets in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or Ra'anana, wherever you may be, and seen all the names but not known the background to them. If that's the case, I would really recommend that you buy Peter's small book of Street Names in Israel. It's really incredibly interesting. Now, at this stage, the reason why Peter has joined me today, if you want to listen to our previous podcasts, please go into Chai FM Podcasts under Sue Jackson and type in Sue Jackson and Peter Bailey, and you'll find all our podcasts there. But right now, Peter is a traveling man all around Israel to different places, and he's going to be telling us about why he is doing that traveling. Hi, Peter, and welcome.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for the welcome, and thanks for the advert for my books. Thank you. Well, Sue, I travel around a lot because I assist at Bed Pretoria, which is a South African aged home in Herzliya. A lot of South African retirees end up there. And they also run something called Pretoria Home Services, where they provide services and care for elderly who are living independently but do need help, booking appointments with doctors, ferrying them to medical appointments. And my particular side of it is delivering meals, similar to the old Meals on Wheels in South Africa, which a lot of listeners might remember. Although, of course, ours isn't free. People pay. Those that can't afford, there are special arrangements made. And then I also deliver home needs such as waterproof requirements for the elderly that are incontinent and so on.
How long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing it now for five, almost 6 years.
Wow. And why is this year so... Just go on. You enjoy what?
No, so I enjoy it very much. I enjoy meeting the people and chatting with them. And a lot of the old people are very lonely.
I'm sure.
I'm often older than some of the people I'm going to. Mm. But they're very lonely. I enjoy a chat.
So do you, when you do deliver, do you sometimes go in and sit and just chat to them?
I don't really sit and chat, but I spend 5 minutes at the door or so on chatting.
I'm sure it makes so much difference to their lives too, just that human contact.
Yes, yes. Mm.
And Peter, this year, why has it been so different? Well, it started before this year.
This started already on the 7th of October 2023. Mm. Israel has just not been the same since. We had rockets coming and missiles coming from Lebanon after the 9th of October. So it's something we've been living with for almost 2 years. In June last year, the 12-day war with Iran, there was intense missile fire. which stopped, and now, of course, that took off again. Although I must say, the south of Israel has been hit very hard the last couple of days, but I haven't heard a siren for 48 hours now.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, so, thank goodness.
So, yeah, so.
And where are you right now? If the siren should go off in
right
the next
now,
few minutes, where are you?
If the siren, I would rush to our mamak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at home, and I would rush to our mamak.
Now tell me, what is the difference? There's mamad, miklat, maklat. Tell me about the differences in all of those.
Well, Mamad is an acronym for Merchav Mugan Dirati, which is a safe area in your home, a private safe area.
Okay.
A Miklat is a communal or public shelter. These are usually underground, because it's much safer. But a lot of the Miklat are situated in the basements of buildings. So for the elderly, that presents a huge problem, especially those that are not mobile.
I'm sure it does.
Miklat. Yeah, it's a huge problem, but I'll come back to that just now. And then the third option is a mamak, which is a merchav mugan komati. And that is a safe area on each floor of a building.
Okay.
That's what where I live, we have a mamak at the end of the building, at the end of the passage of each floor.
That makes a big difference.
So the people from the 6 or 8 apartments all go there.
Okay. And are they ready for you? Do you actually get them ready in your building?
Well, they're open all the time.
Okay, so you've got chairs
open.
And do you have
there's chairs in
water?
There, yeah.
And,
there's enough chairs. Yeah, there's chairs, there's water, there's a kettle, there's coffee. There's always somebody bringing a packet of biscuits.
So it turns out to be quite sociable at times.
Well, I have a cousin who lives in Ranana in a building, and she commented to me the other day. She said, "You know, I live in a four-story building, and I never knew all the people in my building. I've now been spending hours and hours with them. I've made a whole new social contact and friends."
Huh?
Wow. And that is the upside of the Miklat, the upside of the attacks on Israel.
And you know, Peter, I read somewhere, I think it was the Miklat, that it was the Miklat something, which were the cities of refuge, and that's where the name comes from. Is that true?
Yes, the Ir Miklat was the city of refuge.
Okay, so that's where the name came from then.
And you know, very interestingly on that subject, I'm sure most people know Dizengoff Center, which has got four basement levels of parking. And the bottom basement level has now been turned into a huge Miklat. Because particularly in Tel Aviv, the older buildings don't even have any sort of bomb shelter. There's no protection. So people all go down into this Miklat.
Gee whiz. And they've even, where they've got hospitals now, is that also in underneath
yes.
buildings?
Yes, hospitals, yeah. The nearest hospital to us is Meir Hospital in Kfar Saba. And there they've actually built a complete bomb shelter emergency room. The whole emergency room now is in this bomb shelter. It's in a basement and it's absolutely safe.
Isn't that amazing?
And other hospitals, Sheba Hospital has got a whole complete underground setup. It's amazing.
I saw a person I know, her daughter had just given birth in a bomb shelter, obviously in a hospital setup for pregnancies and births.
Yeah,
and I mean, quite amazing. You know, really
I read
is.
A beautiful article about a bris that was done in a bomb shelter. they had to do
so?
The bris.
Yeah.
And all the residents of that particular building, it was in the Miklat, and they had a whole big sing-along and a sing-song, and everybody brought food, and it was apparently a wonderful bris.
Isn't that amazing? You know, my daughter Shira, who you know, I asked her if she wouldn't mind just sending me something about what she feels about bomb shelters and things. And she said, We don't have a mamad in our apartment, so when the alert in our phones comes, we run downstairs. This has actually, in some ways, been a blessing. My children are shown such love from the neighbors. They play ball with them, card games, and they draw with them. They even feed our baby. My little boy has made friends with a little fellow whose mom is a refugee from Eritrea. They don't have a bomb shelter, so they sleep in ours. I've had people carry the pram upstairs to bomb shelters, and even two elderly women carry it downstairs for me while I held the baby. We haven't had a siren in the center for 2 days, and my kids say they miss the miklat, shared hardships, help to heal. I must admit, I also know that it's been very difficult at times for her. Many challenges, especially during the night. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, on that subject, we've got twin.
Can we get back to that shortly?
Yes, we can.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and my guest today is Peter Bailey, and he's in Israel. If you'd like to WhatsApp us, please do so on 061-895-1019. This is 101.9 Chai FM that you're listening to, and Peter was about to tell me about his twin grandchildren. Tell me about them, Peter.
Well, our twin grandchildren will be 5 in May.
Right.
And they actually don't know a life without sirens. Mm. It's absolutely situation normal for them.
So they don't get anxious or?
Well, they still get anxious when they hear the booms and the bangs of
it's very frightening.
Of the explosions of rockets being hit or missiles being neutralized. But they don't know another life, and it's actually very sad in many respects.
You say that, and there was a very good article that I read about. In many ways, you in Israel, you are the ones who are getting the strength from this experience. The rest of us are not there, and are only imagining what it's like. You know, we spoke about going into the different miklats and mamads. There's a woman I know in Jerusalem in a retirement home, and she says all she does is take her hearing aids out at night, and she just sleeps through the night. Now, Peter, you know, you mentioned yesterday that you had a very interesting. You said you wanted to tell me a story that happened to you. It was probably a few days ago, but I only picked it up last night. Tell me about it on your way back from Be'eri.
No, that wasn't me. That was Mesh Isaacson.
Oh, okay. It was Mesh, right.
Okay.
And you were going to be
Mesh,
listening to you.
Mesh is the chairman of Telfed.
Okay.
And Telfed do a lot of good work, as I'm sure a lot of people know. And they donated a 4x4 little vehicle and a trailer to the people of that area where Kibbutz Be'eri is, which is the one that was very seriously damaged on the 7th of October.
Yes.
So they donated this trailer, and it's used when roads are closed, as often happens when there's attacks. This vehicle is able to deliver military and other supplies by going off-road and overland. So on their way back, a siren, they got a warning that a siren is going to go. Just to tell people before that, the system here is very good. We get a warning that says in the next few minutes there's going to be a siren. So you got a few minutes to prepare before you have to get into the safe area, which you then have 1.5 minutes when the actual siren goes. If it's an attack from closer by like Lebanon, you just get 1.5 minute warning. That's it. Anyhow, Mesh and the people in the car with him got this warning, and they saw a little miklat, literally 2.5 meters by a meter, on the side of the road. There's a lot of portable ones. I sent you a photo
yes,
of them.
Yes, that was fascinating.
Anyhow, they stopped and they got and they went to this miklat and it was packed. It was like sardines inside.
Right.
But everybody said, come in, come in. And everybody squeezed up a little bit more and they pushed in. As they were going to close the door, another fellow arrived. He pushed in as well. they closed the door and no sooner they closed it, there was a knock on the door. And somebody else was let in and squeezed in a little bit further. and that's where they spent, there were 10 or 12 minutes.
Wow.
But everybody was jovial and happy.
It's amazing. You know, they talk about Jewish humor and how many comedians are actually Jewish. And when you think about it, a lot of the humor has come through the hardships.
Well, Jewish humor is absolutely wonderful. And you can see it in the in the safe rooms. You can see it in the miklat. You can see it in the mamad. Everybody's got a story. And to me, what's absolutely amazing, we are all there from different walks of life, but we are all subject to the same problem. And our safety is all that really counts.
And
I mean, I've had some remarkable experiences in various places during my travels. When the siren goes off, you got to find a place quickly. And so far, thank God, I've been very lucky. Every time something happens, and I'm there.
So, I want you to tell me a few of the experiences that you've had.
See, my very first one was actually in Kwasaba, which was quite funny. I was driving down the main street when the siren went off. I jumped out of my car, put on the flashes, as does everybody else. You just leave your car where it is and off you go. And I followed the crowd.
Right.
And we got into this huge miklat. It was near the market area of Kwasaba. But as I got into the door, into the entrance, all I could smell was fish. which obviously the chaps from the fish market must have been in there. And a couple of us at the door decided we're not closing the door. And we're not going further in. We're just staying there. So that was one of them. But then on a different side, I was traveling in the suburb of Bavli in Tel Aviv when the siren went, the warning went, and I immediately stopped on the side of the road, jumped out of the car. Well, before I could jump out of the car, a woman saw me stop. She banged on the window. I opened the window and she asked me, "You're looking for a miklat?" I said, "Please, please." She said, "Follow me." And she led me a short way down the road into a school building. And we went down into the school's miklat.
Good
the
heavens.
Schools are all closed at the moment, so there's no kids there. So all these school miklatim, or miklats, are being used for public use.
That's
the principals are there and they welcome you. I had a similar experience in Ramat Aviv, a school just sort of around the corner from Ramat Aviv Mall. Same story. The principal of the school was actually standing on the pavement calling people to come.
To come in, is that so? Wow.
Yeah, and I went into that one, which is quite amazing there. There were mattresses all along the one wall. And the old apartments in the old part of Ramat Aviv don't have any form of safety. So families with children have moved in there. And the kids stay there all the time so that they're safe.
Good heavens. Isn't that amazing?
And
I believe also that various houses, you know, private homes, have even got signs up saying if you
there
need...
Are not yeah. private homes so much, but a lot of apartment blocks.
Right.
They've got a sign saying Mamad available or Miklat available. And the doors, where doors are usually locked with codes to open them, the doors are open. I've gone into quite a few of these without any difficulty.
Isn't that amazing? Shira, Peter knows, I'll just say it again, she's my daughter. She was walking down the street in Renana with her the pram and her other two little ones and the baby in the pram when a siren went off. And they had to go into the I think it was the municipality mamad.
Yes.
And is that a miklat?
That's actually called a miklat siburai.
Oh.
Which is a public miklat.
Okay, well, so she couldn't take the pram with her, so she left the pram at the top, rushed in there with the children. Her husband was trying desperately to get hold of her, but she had left her phone in the pram.
In the pram.
Yes, with her handbag and everything else. And, you know, I just thought how amazing when she came out. Well, then someone said to her, you know, I think the baby's going to be a bit cold. And she said, well, I've left the blanket in the pram. And this woman rushed up and got a blanket from the pram and brought it down to Shira for the baby. And afterwards, back up she went there. Her handbag was with the baby stuff, with her phone and everything else. Here we would have been searching for the pram forever.
Well, you know, Jeannie is my wife, had a similar experience. We were at Chetzi Chinam, which is like a pick and pay supermarket.
Yeah.
I often call it pick and pay. Makes me feel at home.
Right.
We did a huge trolley full of Pesach shopping, and I had just finished paying at the checkout when the siren went. So we rushed out with hordes of other people, and I didn't know what to do with the trolley, and I saw a whole lot of trolleys standing there, and the security guy said to me, just leave your trolley. And I left it there with another 40 trolleys, and the miklat was absolutely full. So they herded us up the stairwell.
Right.
And people were standing in the stairwell. But everybody was joking. Everybody was laughing at our predicament.
And you didn't for a moment think your parcels would be there, wouldn't be there.
Well, you know, my South African background, I was horrified. When we got out eventually, our trolley was actually the last one left standing. And everything was there. Everything was intact. And so, I said to Jeannie, had this have been South Africa? End of story.
Absolutely. All your goods would have been sold to someone else by that stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what's very amusing? Because if I think about it, I know when I was there in January this year with my husband, Leon, he was complaining about the different, as you call them, pick and pays. Well, he certainly wouldn't call them pick and pays. And the one, I was leaning forward to get some tomatoes when all of a sudden I was literally shoved aside by an older woman, actually older than me even, who wanted to get the tomatoes first. So she just leaned straight across me and sort of shoved me aside. And I was shocked, you know. It didn't occur to me that I should shove back. But what absolutely amazed Leon was every time he got into the queue to get into the cashier, someone else would suddenly push in front of him or try to push in front of him.
Very often.
But what you're saying is people's entire way of living, of behaving, change in this time of crisis.
I often say the same guy that would cut you off at a traffic light would push in front of you to get onto the bus first, would push in front of you to get to the cashier. All of a sudden, he shows you into the mamad or the miklat. He helps you. A young lady who would normally push me out of the way offered me a chair the other day.
Good heavens.
Insisted that I sit down because I'm old. and you know, everything just changes. When there's a common problem, all Israelis deal with the problem together. And I think that's something that's sort of fused the togetherness in the Israeli people, in the Jewish, not only the Jews, there's Arabs. You find Arabs often in the safe rooms, and they made just as home and just as welcome as everybody else.
Wow. Isn't that absolutely amazing?
And another interesting little story is a building in Herzliya that I had to go into the miklat. Also, mattresses lining the walls.
Right.
And there must have been 30 kids there. And a couple of adults, but I saw there were two couples that were looking after the kids. And I went to chat to them. And they said to me, they today the duty parents at the moment.
Right.
In 2 hours' time, another pair of a couple of parents will take over, and then they can go to work.
Isn't that amazing?
So they swap like this all day.
Yeah. Good heavens!
All the kids in the building are safe, and they know the parents can go to work, knowing that their kids are cared for and looked after.
That's absolutely amazing. Okay, we're going to get back to that shortly.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. My guest today is Peter Bailey in Israel, and we are talking about his various experiences going from bomb shelter to bomb shelter. And there's a message that has just come through from Carol Kay. Oh, Sue, I love listening to all Peter's adventures and the different lifestyles. Did you hear that, Peter?
I heard that, thank you.
You know, I read an article, it was in the J Post, and it said why Israelis living through this moment may be the lucky ones. And it says, the going is rough, but those who go through rough times that lead to much better days are, when people look back decades later, often considered the lucky ones. What do you think about that? Them saying that?
Absolutely. I haven't lived here long enough for that. But people around my age, a lot of the men and women who lived through the 1973 Yom Kippur War, found it to have been the most amazing experience afterwards. At the time, it was horrific, but looking back, it was wonderful. And walking around in Israel or driving around, you often see groups of old men, four or five, six of them, sitting outside coffee shops chatting.
Right.
And I often wondered, why do these guys meet once or twice a week? And I started chatting to a few of them. Most of them served together in military units. A lot of them in 73, they fought together. And they've retained that camaraderie. And they meet, they call it their weekly Knesset, their weekly parliament. And it's a wonderful way of life here.
It's absolutely.
Brings me to something else. I don't know if listeners are aware of this, something called the World Happiness Report.
Right.
Which gives an annual happiness grading for different countries of the world. Last year, Israel was ranked 7th. This year, we dropped one. We only ranked 8th. But by comparison, South Africa is ranked 134. Just a few ahead of Iran.
Good heavens.
We're ahead of America. We're ahead of Britain. We're ahead of France. The Scandinavian countries are the ones that are right at the top. But with all our troubles and travails in Israel, we are still such a happy people.
And I see that happiness chart, that happiness index, took in from 2023, 2024, 2025 until now, 2026. So those have been really dreadful years for Israel. And yet the happiness, you came 8th on that happiness chart, which is completely contrary to what people would believe in happiness. But the article went on to say it's because people find such a strong sense of meaning and purpose in their lives, and that brings them together. Which, you know, if you think about it, it's true. It is something that does bring people together, that sense of, well, we've got to get through this, so we might as well try and do this together.
Right, yeah. Well, somebody asked me, why? I said, well, to be a Jew in Israel, you're happy. For 2,000 years, Jews have been trying to get their own state, their own land, their own country, and now we've got it. We've got what we've been yearning for three and a half thousand years. So we're happy. We don't need much else. All the other things are incremental. That's my personal opinion.
And I'm sure you've had to change your life completely from from a life, a very good, easy life in South Africa, to a life that's very different there. Would you change it for anything?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You know, I remember towards the, before we made Aliyah, we were living in Orchards. And I used to drive home and watch behind me. If there was a car behind me, I didn't stop to turn into my driveway because it was too dangerous. I carried on driving and went around the block. And this sort of thing, we had security fences, we had electric fences, all sorts of things. In Israel, you just don't see that. It's a different, I'm not saying there's no theft and no crime, there is. But it's a different type of crime and theft. It's not petty theft.
And it's not a violent type of
and it's
theft
not a violent,
all.
No.
No, absolutely. And Peter, go on a few, with a few other examples that that you've had. I think you mentioned, that was it the Sokolov train station?
Yes, the Sokolov train station was very interesting.
Yeah.
I actually started off in Ranana. I got a warning sign in Ranana, so I stopped and went into a building. I couldn't find a safe, a miklat or anything, but I managed to find a little stairwell, and I stood there for 10 minutes and nothing happened, so I went back to my car and started driving. I got about, drove about 400 meters and another warning came.
Yeah.
So I jumped out again and found somewhere. 10 minutes later, got into the car again, and I then got to a traffic light adjacent to Sokolov Station, and the siren went. This time was the real deal.
Right.
And I turned and I stopped in the prohibited parking area in front of the station, jumped out of the car, and I don't know if you've ever been to through a station in Israel.
Yes, I have.
But the security, very strict, the barriers, everything. Everything was open, and the guards were acting as ushers to usher everybody in to a safe area. And I was taken into a little room, I don't know, probably the size of a bathroom.
Yeah, right.
That was crowded with people. It was actually the safe area for the guards and the staff that work there. But they crowded a whole lot of other people in.
Right.
And a young lady insisted, she said, I've got to sit down. I said, you've got to sit down. So anyhow, she got up and I had to sit down.
Right. You know, sometimes sometimes those guards can be quite rude if you haven't gone through the right procedure to sort of get through. So here you're saying they suddenly change into caring individuals.
They change like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. what's it, Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
They become, they've got a job to do, I suppose, and their job is to see that nobody goes through. So they're very officious and they're very strict. But the complete change, and everybody rushed in, and it's absolutely
There's a camaraderie, as you say, a togetherness.
There's a total camaraderie. We're all in trouble together.
You know, it's a strange thing, but when you say we're all in this together, we attended a wedding over the weekend, not a Jewish wedding, and we were perhaps the only we were the only Jewish family there, and so there was no talk at all about Israel. About normally on a weekend, my family would be coming home from shul, and they would give me what tell me what was happening, or I would have heard what was happening. And you know, it felt so almost like we were in another a sphere. Quite honestly, we weren't in our bubble, which is a Jewish bubble. We all know what's going on, and yeah. That is actually where caring comes in as well. We're going to get back to that shortly.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson, and I'm back with Peter Bailey. Peter, did you hear that audio clip?
It wasn't very clear.
Okay, so she was saying that where Israel is, she said in 2025, in actual fact it's 2026 as well, that it's rated so high. And you know, I was reading in the Times of Israel, and it said about the world happiness, and it said the parameters within Israel that are not measured in the report, the happiness report, directly encompass family ties, community, faith, a sense of belonging, and strong social bonds. And there's a new book out called The Genius of Israel, The Surprising Resilience of a Divided Nation in a Turbulent World. And in it, Saul Singer and Dan Seno say Thanksgiving dinner, they have that the Israelis have a Thanksgiving dinner every Friday night where they show their gratitude. And it is one aspect of Israeli culture that helps Israelis remain well above the global average. And which I think is very true. You know, you talk about those men meeting. You know, those are brothers for life. They've been in the IDF. They've been in the units together. Those are brothers for life. And when you go through these sort of hard times, I'm sure that's what you've found with your own friends there. A lot of them are South Africans, I'm sure. Do you find they've also changed and encompassed this way of life in a healthy manner?
Very much so. Sue, you know, there was a little video, you might have seen it during the rounds, of a sing-along at Bet Protea, in the Meklotet Bet Protea in the aged home.
Yes, I saw where that.
There was some guy got them going, singing Sari Maree and Dalkomli Olivama, and we're marching to Pretoria. It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
You sent it to me. I loved every bit of it.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. But you know, Peter, here, as I say, you know, we were away for the weekend and no one spoke about Israel or anything. And to many of us in our community, a lot of us can't have our family coming from Israel for Pesach because all the flights are all cancelled. A lot of my friends have not been able to go to Israel for functions and or for Passover. And it's actually hard all being separated like this.
It's very, very difficult. It's my oldest son had a birthday last week. He lives on a kibbutz an hour and a half drive away from us. And we felt it's just too dangerous to spend an hour and a half on the road, particularly with sirens going, and you don't know where you can find safety.
Mm, mm.
So for the first time since we've been in Israel, we weren't with him on his birthday.
And that
makes it tough.
Of course it makes it tough.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And you know what? This time has been going very quickly. Craig is telling me to wrap up. But I just wanted to just say that really, all of us here are with all of you in spirit, all of you in Israel, and just know that you are supported by all of us emotionally, through prayer, in whatever way we can. Just have a very safe Pesach and let it be a time of freedom to come. And also to remember, I think, that hope we must all hold on to the hope that better days are coming and we will celebrate in freedom. How would you like to end?
Three little words. Yeah, three little words say it all. Am Israel Chai.
Absolutely. Translated,
please. The people of Israel live.
Right.
The people of Israel live.
The people of Israel. Am Israel Chai. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Peter. And I'll speak to you later. God bless. Bye.